Chazar Zechanish of Bachi Chazal Shagman of Yehudim Sechel Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The Mishnah, a person is allowed to tie a pail with a girdle on Shabbos because it won't be left there permanently, but not with a string. Rabbi Yehuda says he can even tie with a string. Rabbi Yehuda says a klal, if someone makes a knot which is not permanent, he will not be chayev. What type of string are we talking about in the Mishnah? If it's a regular string, how could Rabbi Yehuda be matter? So it will definitely be left there permanently. The Mishnah is discussing using a string from the weavers, a weaver string, and the weavers will need it back, and therefore they won't leave it tied to the pail. The Rabbanan not geyser. If we allow it to tie with a weaver string, it may come to tie with other strings as well. Rabbi Yehuda is not geyser. Isa says that if a string of a pail breaks, Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to tie the two ends of the string together with a bow. And Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to tie them together with a bow, but you are allowed to tie them with a belt. So we see that the Rabbanan are not Goyzer, and Rabbi Yehuda is Mamish Punk Faket from Amishna. Where it says the Rabbanan are not Soyser because they're only Goyzer when it comes to using one type of string for another type of string. And over here it's just a Shaila of making a bow, it's not an issue. But Rabbi Yehuda is also not Soyser because Rabbi Yehuda is not Goyzer at all. The reason why he says is you're not allowed to make a bow over here is not a Gzera. He holds that a bow is a knot. And that's why he says it's also. Avin the name of Chiyar Rashi, the name of Rav, says you're allowed to take a rope from your house and tie a cow, use it to tie your cow to a feeding trough. You're not afraid you're going to leave it there permanently, even one side. Do that. The Mara says the Bryce is talking about a regular rope. You may leave it there permanently. Rav is discussing a weaver string, and therefore you know you're not going to leave it there. The name of Shmuel says muta to move weaving instruments like a loom on Shabbos because it's used for other purposes as well, not just for weaving. They ask Rabbi Yehuda, what about the heavy upper and lower beams of a large loom? They're maybe not used for anything else. Rabbi Yehuda says he didn't give an answer. Rabbi Yehuda didn't give an answer one way or another. Or at least he didn't give a definite answer. The Nachman name of Shmuel said weaving instruments, including the heavy upper and lower beams of a large loom, are not muksa, but the vertical posts that are stuck into the ground, those are not allowed to be moved. Rabbi Yosef Nachman, why can't they be moved? Because they're going to leave holes in the ground. But we find leaving holes in the ground is not a problem as long as the holes were created before Shabbos. Mark explains that's in a field where you're not afraid you're going to fill the holes, but when it's in a house where you're afraid you're going to fill the holes, we would not allow that. It would be a problem of boyin to fill the holes. Yehuda Bar Levoy says the heavy upper and lower beams of a loom may not be moved on Shabbos because they're not used for anything but weaving. In the Mishnah, you're allowed to fold clothing that will be worn on Shabbos even four or five times to prevent them from getting creased. You're allowed to make the beds from Friday night for Shabbos, but not from Shabbos for after Shabbos. Next, Rabbi Shmuel says you're allowed to fold clothing or make beds on a Friday, which is Yom Kippur, lekavod the next day, which is Shabbos. Also, the karbanos of Shabbos, which have to be burned after Shabbos, and when Yom Kippur falls out on Sunday, you're allowed to burn those karbanos from Shabbos on Matzah Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur, but not vice versa, not from Yom Kippur for Shabbos to Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva says that you're not allowed to burn the karbanos of Shabbos on Yom Kippur or vice versa. They said you're only allowed to fold one person themselves, allowed to fold, not two people, because then they stretch it too much and it looks like you're fixing it. But even one person can only fold new clothing, which doesn't get so creased, but not old clothing, because then it looks like you're fixing it. And even new clothing only may be folded if they're white, because they don't crease as much, but colored clothing would not be allowed to be folded. And even new white clothing it can only be folded if you have nothing else to wear. If you do, then you can't fold it. But in Gamaliel's house, they never folded anything, because they always had something else to wear. When he said you should change your clothing to cover Shabbos, if you don't have other clothing to wear, then normally they would wear their clothing rolled up so it shouldn't drag on the floor as they did their work, then on Shabbos you should let it down like the style of the wealthy people. This is based on a pasuk of the Gemara V'chibad Toi, which teaches that you should have special clothing for Shabbos, like Rabbi Yochanan used to say that his clothing were those that honored him. The pasuk of Me'asoyis Terechecha teaches that you're walking on Shabbos should be different than you're walking during the week. The pasuk of Mimtzei Chef Tzecha teaches that your dealings are Asher Shabbos, but to deal in Hashem's work, promise Sadaka, make Shaduchim, that's Mutter. The pasuk of Vedabed Dover teaches that you shouldn't speak about weekday things on Shabbos. However, you're allowed to think about such things. What does it mean you're walking on Shabbos shouldn't be the same as what you're walking during the week? It's like Rav Huna said in the name of Rav that you're not supposed to jump over large puddles on Shabbos. Rav asked, what should you do? If you walk around, then you're walking extra on Shabbos. If you walk through it, you may lead to a schita problem. So what do you do? The Gemara says it's mutter to jump over such a puddle. When the pasuk teaching is, it's also to take large steps on Shabbos. Rabbi Yisrael Bishmol, son of Rabbi Yosi, you're allowed to eat earth on Shabbos, which is typically done for medicinal purposes. He said, I hold also to eat earth even during the week because I hold it's bad for the person. Rabbi Ami said, whoever eats earth of bubbles, like he ate the flesh of his avos who died there in Golas. Others say it's like he ate shkatzim or mosim who died there during the mabul. Shlakish says bubble called shinner because all the dead of the mabul were brought there. The low lying land. Rabbi Yochanan says bubble is called metzula because all the dead of the mabul sank there. Lozer explains the pasuk by Rus that Nami instructed Rus to bathe, anoint yourself, change your clothing before going to Boaz. This was a reference to Rus to wear her Shabbos clothing. Pasuk says Tein Lachacham Yechkam Oyder, but Lozer says this is referring to Rus and Shmuel. Although Rus was told to put on her Shabbos clothing and then go to Boaz, she did not put on her Shabbos clothing until she got to Boaz, so people shouldn't think she's walking in the street and maybe she's a Zayna because she's dressed all fancy. We got to Shmuel because when Shmuel heard his first nevuah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu came to him with the voice of his Rebbe Eli. He wasn't sure if it was Eli or not, even though Eli told him it's the Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he still didn't address. He didn't say that Hashem Hashem, because he was afraid that maybe it was Taka his Rebbe Eli. So Beirut says, she went back and forth. Rav Elazar explains, she went back and forth until she found the proper people to join as a group. Boyuz was intrigued and asked about Rus, because Rav Elazar explains he was curious about her because she saw how particular she was to only take the stalks with less than 3 kernels, as Allah reports a person should be. Also, that the fact that she crouched with sneas rather than bend over and with less sneas. Boyuz says, V'choyisid bakun. Rav Elazar explains, he told Rus, the schus that you stay dovka, boy, you stay with your mother-in-law now, I'm going to marry you. Boyuz told Rus, when it's time to eat, goyshi haloim, come here. Rav Elazar said, he was giving her a remez that the kingdom of David, the Malchus Beis David, will come from her, because David later said to Hashem, who am I to deserve what you should bring me haloim over here on the throne? Using that same lashon. Ki avi oisani ad haloim. He told Rus to dip her bread in vinegar. Rav Elazar says, we see that vinegar is healthy in the heat. Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni says, Boyuz is giving her a remez that the descendants will be as bitter as vinegar to Hashem. He was referring to Menashe. He put her not next to the harvesters, but on the other side. It was a remez that the Malchus Beis David would be split. This says Rus 8 was satisfied and left over. This is a remez to the future wealth of 3 descendants, David, Shlomo, and Chizkiyo. Let's say it refers even to the times of Rebbe, her descendant. It says the army of Sancheriv were all killed through a nation. Rabbi Yechanan says it means their bodies were burned, but their clothing was not. Rabbi Elazar says they were totally burned. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni says that only the inside of their bodies was burned, not the outside. Just like the sons of Aaron.